I just pray that you're being blessed as well from your living rooms, from wherever you're watching service this morning. I pray that God blesses you. And praise God, I pray that God blesses all of you here this morning. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. It's so good to be here. Praise God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we serve a loving God. Through it all, He's been faithful. He's been true. He's been our strength, our help, our peace. That's the God that we serve. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, whether they're digital, whether they're paper, praise God, as long as you have something. I'll have it up on screen as well. You can follow along. In Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Genesis 50 and verse 20. It says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." And I've gone with this thought, He can turn it all around. Jesus can turn it all around. My God can turn it all around. Whatever's happening in your life, He can turn it all around. Praise God. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just be with us this morning, that you would just bless your word, that you would help us and strengthen us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Take a seat. As we read from the text, we're talking about Joseph here. And Joseph spans quite a bit of the book of Genesis, from about chapter 37 right to the end of Genesis in chapter 50. There's 13 chapters given about the life of Joseph. And as we know that Joseph started off well, we would agree he did. He started off well. He had a great direction going for him. He was his dad's favourite boy. He was doted upon. He had these wonderful gifts given to him. He had these amazing dreams that would point to a spiritual pinnacle one day when achieved. This was the beginning of Joseph's life. Pretty amazing. One could say at this point that this young man's life was looking up. Everything was looking good for this young man, Joseph. He was in cruise control and running along just fine on the journey of life. But underneath all of that, okay, there was trouble brewing for Joseph. And the world that he thought he knew was going to be changed forever. Forever. And it would change him too. It would change his life. His brothers hated him. And I'm just paraphrasing. Like I said, there's a lot of chapters covered over the life of Joseph. His brothers hated him. They were selfish too. They wanted the things that Joseph was getting. They wanted the same treatment their father was giving to Joseph, given to them. They wanted the same gifts that Joseph was getting. But they thought the only way they were going to achieve that was by taking Joseph out of the picture, by removing him altogether. What a lovely family. What a lovely brothers to have in your family. Ones that hated you and wanted you out of the picture. And you know, on the day when Jacob sent Joseph out to check on his other sons, all right, his older brothers caught him. Like he was some thief, they caught him and they threw him into a pit. No water, no food. They just left him in the pit. They were going to leave him there to die. But then one of the brothers spoke up and they had pity. They said, this is not right. Let's do something that's not as drastic. Let's sell Joseph into Egypt. And there was merchant men that were passing by and they sold him to these merchant men. And so Joseph went into Egypt, a slave. And so we're looking here at the pinnacle of Joseph's life at the age of 17. 17 years old he was. He had hopes, he had dreams, he had everything going for him. It looked like everything was just looking up for Joseph. And then overnight, bang. You know, who can relate to that? Who can think, wow, one moment I'm just in cruise control, everything's looking good, and then the very next instant, and it can seem like in the night, everything turns around. I've had things like that happen. But you know what? Just because things like that happen doesn't mean God stops being faithful. It doesn't mean God stops being God. It doesn't mean that God stops healing or performing miracles. It doesn't mean that God stops walking with you. We hit a bumpy road. We hit a snag. But God is still there. God is still faithful. You know, who's been body surfing? I mean, I don't mind the beach. Who likes getting in the water and doing some body surfing? Yeah? I've done it quite a bit. I grew up on the coast. I was a beach boy most of my young life. Moved to Canberra. I don't know what I was thinking, but anyway. Got here. I missed the beach. I still love the water. I still do. But I can remember getting in the surf and I'm cresting a wave as I'm coming over body surfing. And then I realised I caught the wrong one. Slam! Down I go. Straight into the sand. Like the water just disappeared under me and there's this big wave over the top of me. Slam! Straight down there. Get sand in my eyes, in my mouth, in my ears, every other foreign crevice. I've got sand everywhere. I don't even know which way's up. And it's like that sometimes. Life is like that. We crest away thinking it's all good and all of a sudden the water disappears and down we go. And yeah, we get battered, we get bruised. Sometimes we forget which way's up. But you know what? God's always there. God's always faithful. And no matter where you go, if you just put your faith in God, it doesn't matter how hard that wave brings you down, Jesus will lift you up. Jesus will pick you up. You got to just look up to Jesus. You got to look up to him because he's the one that will bring you back up. He can turn it all around. This was Joseph. In that moment, he was riding a great wave until he got slammed. But it's not how hard you fall. It's what you do afterwards. It's about bouncing back better than ever before. It's about taking on the chin of adversity. It's about taking it on. And telling it to the face, you may have won this round, but you haven't won the match. So Joseph kept his chin up. He kept his integrity and maintained his faith as well. You got to wonder, at the age of 17, that Joseph had a fear of God in his life. It had to have come from somewhere. And I have to say, Jacob did a good job teaching Joseph. His father had been hard at work instilling godly values and principles into him. He certainly didn't learn it from his brothers. Joseph had to learn godly values and godly fear from somewhere. So Joseph knew that through whatever he was going through, God was with him. And you know what? Long before the Psalms were ever written, he was living one of them out. In Psalm 118 and verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? He was already living out the psalm. Ah, the Lord is on my side. We are blessed. God is on your side. He is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. I will not fear. No, I won't. I won't fear what comes against me. I won't fear what is facing me tomorrow. Because you know what? What can man do unto me? What can circumstances do unto me? Where can it take me but back to the cross? Where can it take me back but back to the foot of Jesus? His life was not a physical trajectory. It was not on the physical, but it was on an eternal trajectory. His eyes were not focused on the here and now, but they were focused on the then and there. He was looking at where he was going, praise God. He was, as it were, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, here was Joseph, was looking unto God, who knew his beginning, who knew his end. Joseph knew that God was in control. Are we letting God take control of our lives? It's a big question. Who's in control in your life? You know, some people say, I'm completely out of control all the time. What are you talking about? But being out of control doesn't mean you can't let God be in control. When you put your hand in the hands of God, and you're looking at adversity, and you're looking at circumstances, and you're looking at things in your life, and you're thinking, what more can happen? You know, some people say, you really shouldn't say that, you know. What could possibly go wrong? And then everything goes wrong. But with Jesus, when things do go wrong, if you put your trust in God, he can turn it all around. He can turn it all around. Joseph saw the divine plan of God at work in his life. Even though it wasn't ideal, he made the most of it. You know what? Joseph was sold into the house of Potiphar. And you know what? Joseph was so good at being a servant that Potiphar made him ruler over all of his goods in his house, over everything in his house. He was such a good servant. He excelled and he did his best with the circumstance that he was given. What an example for us that no matter what the cards that are dealt to us in our life, we can make the most of them. We can do the best that we can do for God in the circumstance that we live in. And God will bless. And we can say at this point with Joseph, life's looking up, Joseph. It's looking good for you right now. But God had other plans. And this is the point of our life, that God has plans. We can plan for life. We can plan to live and do what we need to do. But God has the great plan. He has the great blueprint for our life. You know what the Bible says? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Basically, he's there at the beginning and he's there at the end. He's already seen our lives lived, as it were. We've already been there and done that in the eyes of God. But what God wants is for us to be able to choose life. choose to live for him. And know that when we are struggling, that if we will trust the Lord, he will turn it all around. You know, Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph. I would imagine Joseph being a young fella, probably nice and tanned, nice eyes, great smile. I don't know, it doesn't tell me, but I'm just making it up. Maybe he had some good character qualities about him that she really, really liked. I doubt that. I think it was more than that. But to save, Joseph was about to go into a world of hurt once again. She wanted Joseph to sleep with her, but Joseph, being a man of integrity, and thank God for that, refused. And for that, Potiphar's wife lied to her husband. And then Joseph was thrown into jail. Okay, he's gone from being part of a family to not having one at all, then to becoming a servant and now a prisoner. Try and figure that one out. Each step that he's gone has gone down, down, down. But you know something? Faith will cost you something. Integrity will cost you something. Standing up for righteousness will cost you something. Living for the Lord will cost you something. Joseph wasn't willing to give up on his faith, his integrity, his values, his morals. Joseph wasn't willing to give up on that and bring shame to God or to himself. And the cost of doing that was prison. The idea, okay, I'm going to take a sidestep here. The idea that you can live for the world and live for God is a dangerous lie. It's a lie. God doesn't like it. You want to know why? Because it's called lukewarm living. And you know what God says about lukewarm living? In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, Revelation 3, 15 and 16, says, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm and you are neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. God has no stomach for lukewarmness. He wants ones who have integrity, who have faith, who have the virtues of a true Christian man or woman of God. This is the sort of person that God is looking for. And Joseph had all these virtues. He lived at a time where he didn't have the written word of God. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have it today. He didn't have his brethren there to encourage him through those tough and difficult times. All he had was his faith in God. All he had was the belief that was instilled in him that God would be his helper, that God would be his strength, that God would lead him through, that God had a greater plan for his life. He can turn it all around. He can do it. Amen. My friend, when things get difficult, don't do what the world does. Don't do it. Don't go back to the life that you lived before. Don't give up, because you've come too far to throw it all away. You've come too far to let it all go. Don't give up. Hang on to Jesus, because he's hanging right on to you. He can take what the enemy meant for evil, and he can turn it for good in your life. Joseph went to prison. And you know what he did? I love it. I love this man. Know what he did? He became the best prisoner there was in the prison. He decided, well, I'm here. I'm going to do the best that I possibly can with what I have and what I've got. And so he became the best prisoner in that prison. And the warden of that jail made him the one with the most responsibility in all the prison and over the prisoners. God blessed him in that circumstance. God blessed him in that situation. You know why? Because he kept his integrity with the Lord. He knew where he stood. Church, there's nothing that can stop you from praising God. There's no situation, there's no circumstance, there's no person or thing that can take the praise away from your lips. Only you can. We need to praise God. We need to praise God. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're in the deepest and darkest dungeon of your life at the moment. God is able to deliver. He is able to turn it all around. You know what Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16 and verse 23 to 26? Hey, I love this. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Who cares if someone's listening to you while you're singing? I don't care if you've got a bad voice. Praise God anyway. It doesn't matter what you sound like. It only matters to God that you're offering up the praises that is due unto his great name. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. When the pain is taking you down, it's time to send the praises up. When the pain is taking you down, it's time to send the praises up. Praise God. You know, Joseph, in his time in prison, he got some visitors. He got visitors by the way of other prisoners. You know who came to him in prison? The baker and the butler. The baker and the butler. And they had got on the wrong side of Pharaoh, to say the least. And Pharaoh was angry with both of them. And so he sends them to prison. And both of those men had dreams. And Joseph was gifted by God to interpret dreams. And to the baker, he said, your dream says that you will be put to death. But he said to the butler, your dream says that you'll be restored back to Pharaoh's side. And it came to pass exactly the way Joseph had foretold, had determined what the dreams meant. But he said to the butler, remember me when you go before Pharaoh. Just put a good word in for me. Just remember me. And you know what? The butler didn't. He was forgotten. He was forgotten. And you know, as I was putting this down and I was thinking about it, I was thinking, there are people who feel forgotten. You feel like you come to church, whatever you do at home, online, wherever you are, sometimes we have that feeling, does anyone miss me? Would I be missed if I didn't turn up? Would anyone miss me? I want you to know that you are not forgotten. That if you didn't turn up, yes, you would be missed. Yes, you would be missed. There are times I've looked around and my heart's moved. And I've wondered, I've said, where is that brother? Where is that sister? I miss them. I want you to know you are not forgotten. I want you to know that God loves you, that your brothers and sisters love you. Whoever is watching, that God loves you. You aren't forgotten. But God can turn it all around for you today. If you will but put your hand in the hand of Jesus, if you will but put your trust in the Lord, God hasn't forgotten you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. God didn't save you to let you drown. Praise God. God didn't bring you this far so that he could let you go. You will always be upon his mind. You will always be upon his heart. You are not forgotten. Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16 says this: Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. This is the Lord, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. You are written in the hand of God. You will never, ever be forgotten. Amen. Just hang on to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus because he can turn it all around. Pharaoh had been given dreams. None of his magicians, soothsayers, wise men, whatever, couldn't interpret the dreams. They just couldn't do it. And you know what? The butler standing there had a great idea. Hey, I remember. I remember there was this man in prison and he was talking to Pharaoh. He said, I remember, Pharaoh, that in the day that you were wroth with me and you sent me to prison, there was this man there who interpreted my dream. The one for the baker and the one for the butler. And they came to pass exactly as he interpreted. I know this man can interpret your dreams. And in the space of a moment, okay, we're talking about a couple of days here, Joseph was taken up out of the prison. He was shaved, obviously, given a clean set of clothes. And he was brought before Pharaoh. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. You know, he talked about the corn growing up, good years, and then the bad corn growing up, and they ate the good corn. And it talks about the good cattle coming up, and they were fat and they were lean, and then there came ill-favored cattle, and they destroyed the good cattle. And Joseph turns around and he says, it talks about the 7 years of plenty. And in 7 years, there's going to be a harvest so great, it's going to be years of plenty. But in the next 7 years, there's going to be a famine in the whole world and it's going to eat up everything. And he said, Pharaoh, we need to start storing up stuff for the years of plenty. And Pharaoh saw it in his heart. And he saw in Joseph the wisdom of God. You know what Pharaoh said? I'm going to raise you up, Joseph. You're going to be second to me. There'll be no one greater in all of Egypt except me, which is his Pharaoh. And he became prime minister over the entire land of Egypt in one moment. He, and I'm talking about God, can turn it all around. He can turn everything around. He can make the years that the locust and the cankerworm and the palmer worm and all those other worms that have devoured in your life, he can turn it around in a moment and bless you with plenty. Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up on your ambitions. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on trying because God is with you. God
is with you. The musicians would come. Praise God. From the time Joseph was sold into Egypt and to the time that his brethren finally turned up, he was 40 years old, roughly. 40 years old. He was sold into Egypt at the age of 17. 23 years had passed in the life of Joseph. 23 years. 23 years where he didn't have any contact or even know that his father was still alive or his family. 23 years where he didn't know what was going to happen out there. I want you to know, it doesn't matter how much time passes, how much time had passed with Joseph, God was with him all the way. God had never left Joseph, never forsaken Joseph, never cast him aside. Through all those years, God was faithful. And so at the age of 40, about 2 years into the famine, guess who walked up at Joseph's door? His brothers. His brothers turned up. Now who looks? Now who needs help? Who comes to him for help? His brothers. You know, Joseph had every right to send them away with nothing, because he was sent away with nothing himself. But you know what? He turned it around and he makes the statement that we began with this message in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You meant it for evil, but God turned it all around and made it for good. God turned it all around. Everything that's happened in my life was meant for evil, but God turned it all around. Today, he can do the same for you. What evil others or circumstances have done to you, God can turn it around. Your testimony will reflect the goodness of God. It will talk of a life that was no matter what thrown at it, my God turned everything around. You will have revival in your life. You will have it. I'm speaking a word of faith right now. You're going to see revival in your life. You're going to see family members come to Jesus. You're going to see things happen in your life that you thought would never be possible, because God is a God who's going to turn it around. Just like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Esther, Ruth, David, Daniel, Elijah, all the men and women of faith, God wrought miracles, deliverances, and hope when there was none. He had turned it all around for them in their lives continually. Most of all, through the coming of Jesus was the greatest turning point in the history of mankind. What happened when Jesus came? Calvary. Calvary happened. That's what happened.
we were destined for eternal darkness with God. But Jesus turned it all around. Jesus turned it all around. Because he rose again on the third day, victorious. Not just victorious, but he was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. This same Jesus, amen, this same Jesus has given us his power today to live a victorious life through his Spirit, amen, working through us as we are able to tap into his eternal resources, tap into the river of God, tap into the presence of God. We are able to tap into the divine power of God here today, amen. He is able to turn your life around. He is able to turn your situation around. He is able to turn your circumstance around. He is able to turn it all around. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all stand across the house today. Praise God. Let's all stand. My God is good. My God is faithful. My God is true. My friend, whatever is going on in your life, we're going to pray that God's going to be with you, that God's going to give you strength where you feel you have none, that God's going to give you help where you need it. We're going to pray that God is with you, that whatever is going on in your life right now, that he will turn it around for you, because he can do that. Let's just all pray right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are there all the time. As the scripture says, your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I pray for all of us here and those who are watching this morning. Whatever they are going through, whatever circumstances, whatever problems that are being faced, you would take it in the palm of your hand and you would flip it upon its head, Lord Jesus, and that you would turn that problem, that circumstance, into a blessing, that you would pour out your blessing, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your healing, that you would bring a miracle where there needs to be a miracle, Lord God. I pray, Jesus, for those that feel like they've been forgotten, that you would just remind them of the love of God, that you would remind them of your presence, that you would draw them back close to you again. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that we can be here with you, that we can have confidence, every confidence, that you will do what you said you will do, that you will be the God that you said you would be, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, draw us closer to you. We put our hand in your hands, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Let's have every hand raised in this place right now. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord and just commit ourselves to God. Amen.